Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 88, Comic Talk. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Once again, returning from the wilds of Canada. Glad to have you back.
Yes, well, I left the country. I was out of the country.
Oh, I see. You did a little immigration, did you?
I tried.
Well, I guess not immigration, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys let me in. You let me into your country.
We were glad to have you here. So what brought you to our fine but yet screwed up nation?
Thank you for classing it up a little bit. We appreciate it.
We needed that.
Yeah, it was super classy. I went to the Comic Geek Speak Super Show last weekend. I guess it was last weekend.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we left Friday morning, very early in the morning. Oh, sorry, I went down with Paul French and Scott Coles from the Legion Substitute podcasters.
Wow, that must have been a fun ride.
It was a good ride.
I wasn't being sarcastic, I was serious, but go ahead.
No, it really was. It was a good ride. I went down to... we all met up at Paul's place in Guelph, and I guess Scott and Paul have this super sort of tradition of watching the movie, what's it called, Black Dynamite? Does that sound familiar? I think that was what it was called.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, funny.
it was crazy. So I got to watch Black Dynamite. I was like, if Tyrock, as Paul says, if Tyrock had been in a movie, this would have been the best Tyrock movie ever, because it had it all. It didn't have, well, I guess it even did have kind of like high-pitched screaming, so it was like,
wow,
it was crazy. I don't even know that I can describe it. Sort of like a black 70s flick, but I don't think it was made in the 70s. I think it was recent, but
2009.
That sounds...
Pardon me?
It's 2009.
Yeah. That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, yeah. It's just done in the style of
60s exploitation. 70s
flicks.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was funny. It had it all. It had like kung fu and crazy talk and cartoon sex and evil islands and Fu Manchu, and it had it all. It had it all.
And Arsenio Hall in it. Oh my god.
It did. It had Arsenio Hall in it. He was there. Anyway, so we started our weekend with that. We left really super early Friday morning and crossed the border around 7 or 8 in the morning. You guys let us in. No problem at all, which was wonderful.
They let Scott in without any problems?
They let us all in without any problems. It was great.
Huh, interesting.
It was great. And then we settled in for the long drive down to Reading, which was long, yeah. it was like a day of driving, but it was a fun day. It was like sunny and warm and lots of comic talk and music talk and listening to Howard Stern, and it was awesome. I haven't heard Howard Stern in so long.
I haven't either. I don't think I ever listened to him, actually, now I think about it.
Anyway, yeah, it was a good drive down, and we met up with Darren Noel, and the con was pretty cool. Like, it's a small little con, but it's got windows, which was super awesome. Like, most of these cons I go to are in, like, these big convention centers, and you don't see the light of day until you're crawling out. But there were windows, there were nice people, there were lots of artists, and a great back issue selection, which was lovely.
Yeah.
I hit the back issue bins. I got... I bought... Well, and they were all 50 cents. Like, I hit the 50 cents bins, which was... like awesome. So I spent like under $50 and came home with like a bajillion comics, which is awesome.
Yes.
Bajillion's a lot.
A bajillion is a lot. And had I known how many I was going to buy, like, they had, it was, yeah, a 50-cent bin, and if you bought, they had a threshold, and if you bought, like, I want to say if you bought 50 comics, you got 25 free, or maybe it was if you bought $50, you got 25. Either way, my first hit at the bin, I was like, oh, I can't hit that much. But if I had just kind of saved everything up over the whole weekend, I probably could have came out with another 25 freebie comics. But that was fine. It was fine. I came home with a good chunk of comics, a couple of trades, an actual book.
Mm-hmm.
Met some cool artists, talked with some other folks. It was good. It was nice putting faces to names of people I've talked to online or seen online but haven't really seen in person. So it was, yeah, it was a good weekend all around. And then we drove back, and like, Reading was warm. It was so like, I mean, I would have been in shorts anyway, but I was warm in shorts. And we got home to Canada, and this was the week where the temperature dropped, so
yeah,
it was bitter cold when we got home.
I was lucky. Yeah, I did that here. As soon as I got in Vegas, it went down to like in the 30s, and it was either flash flood watch or frost advisory every day. It was back and forth. Sometimes it would be 1 in the morning and a different one at night. The whole week I was gone, and then I come back and it's 60s and sunny again.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. It was warm, and then we came back to the cold. Oh, and there was like a jazz festival. This was the one drawback. Sorry, jazz aficionados, but the one hotel where we weren't staying there. Scott was staying at this hotel. There was like a jazz festival out weekend, so you had to listen to jazz music in the hallways and jazz music in the foyer, and they had it done up New Orleans style, so they kept throwing like beads and stuff on you, and by the end of the weekend I had a ton of little cheap beaded necklaces and stuff. But
nice.
I guess if you're in
Vegas, wait a minute.
Maybe there was a jazz festival around the world. It was Jazz Fest weekend. Jazz. Worldwide.
Yeah. I thought I saw Herbie Hancock. Wait a minute.
Crapola.
Yeah, it's funny. I got this weekend, it's last week, I got an opportunity to put a face with a voice for Chris Mosby, and also a face with the name of Rod Trent, who posts on our Facebook all the time with the John Byrne pictures.
Yeah.
He was
the one that took the picture on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I'm jealous. I mean, normally you go to a con and the last con I was at was the Phoenix Con, but I'd also been to San Diego a couple of times, and you have to go out of your way to find people to meet up with. It just sounds small enough and intimate enough that you could, you know, hey, look, I'm bumping into you. And not in an awkward way.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was cool. There were all the, I mean, I guess all the, I want to say, they had a couple of social gatherings, so those would have been the times when you really met people that were online, whereas when the con itself was open, there were probably, I would guess, people from the general public coming in.
That's cool.
I guess. But it was cool. Yes, I got to meet lots of folks. I got to meet Joe Staten.
Really?
I had to totally revise my whole opinion, because normally I'm not a big Joe Staten art fan. I find it icky. However, having talked to the guy, he's so nice and he's so genuine.
Well, that's good.
So now when I look at his artwork, I think, that's a nice dude. I'm going to like his artwork, or at least not dislike. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's always that good thing. Sometimes you go to a con and you hear someone speak, and you think, ugh, that just colors my whole opinion of their work, and I don't want to read their stuff in it.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is the other side of it. Now I can look at Joe Staten's artwork and go, ah, That's yeah. all right. He's a good dude. I will appreciate this.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm sure. So, yeah, I feel like if I ever met probably James Franco, I'd be like, okay, I can stomach the guy because apparently he's a sweetheart. can't stomach him now.
See, there you go. I've seen him in Oz. He was okay there. I saw him in that movie where he chops off his arm.
Yeah, my wife watched that while I was out of town. I refused because of him, and also because I'd be getting claustrophobic. But
you really yeah. hate him that much, huh? Wow.
I do. I dislike
him. Well, that's terrible, man. Sorry to hear that.
It's a cross I bear with much strenuous activity. Boy, everyone. Work out my James Franco hate. Well, that's cool. So was Joe Staten like the big name at the con, or were there other pros?
There were other guys. Fred Hembeck was there, and Tim Truman, and Art Balthazar and Go were there. They were really cool too. They were they're always really cool and nice. But they talked up their new Green Team series, and we got to see some of the artwork. Looks good. Didn't get to read any of the words. Those were still hidden, but the artwork looks good.
That's cool.
Is it more appealing to, are you more intrigued by it now that you've actually seen some of it in person?
I think so. Neither one of them really wanted to do the series to begin with. There's a strong selling point.
Yeah. No, I don't really want to do this.
Well, like they weren't, they had read the first, I guess their only appearance, and they felt it was kind of, like it was super dated, and it was kind of racist, and it wasn't, they weren't thrilled with it, but Dan Didio said, they could do whatever they want with it, they could rebuild it, they could, total carte blanche, and then they started thinking about it, and they're excited about it, so it looks cool.
Wait a minute. So I guess I'm not familiar. So Green Team is an existing concept that they.
I actually looked it up.
Green Team was in. You know when DC did like those first issue special series or whatever, like way back they would do like a. It was a series of, I don't know how long it lasted, but each concept would get an issue to kind of. Try to get people's attention, and if it was popular, it would move off into its own series, and if it wasn't, then it was just, a first issue.
Wow, that's old school. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, I want to say Warlord started off there. They tried Metamorpho at one point. They did, I think, you remember Starfire, before Starfire was like Teen Titans Starfire, and she was like a
She was like Red Sonja.
I think she got her start there, maybe. I could be wrong there. But anyway, the Green Team was one of the concepts, I think, in that first issue special, and they didn't go much beyond that, I don't think.
Yeah. First issue special number 2, May 1975, a tryout magazine for DC Comics.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, look at that. Yes, they... Yep. He's even got the little the black guy's even got the J.J. Walker hat on, doesn't he?
Yes.
They were in one panel of Animal Man number 25 in July 1990, written by Grant Morrison.
Was that the one where he's in limbo meeting his creator?
Maybe, yeah. Yes, on his way to meet Morrison, yes.
Okay. Yeah. With Red B. Okay, well.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay, well, I didn't know they existed before, so more power to them.
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't where I was seeing that, but I looked it up and found that, I think, and that's when I was like, well, crap, that really isn't new. Or no, it was one of those things I was reading, I think, about the series, and it said it wasn't a new concept. So, but anyway,
okay. Oh, cool! So they're gonna do their own spin, but be I assume somewhat faithful to the original.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they changed it where it was the thing I was just reading. You had to have $1 million to get in, and apparently, I think it's like a billionaires. That's what it says on there. Instead of boy millionaires like it was originally, it's boy billionaires now. So made it a little bit more up to the times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seems like I read that. So anyway, yeah. Let's see. Other news that happened. We mourn the passing of Carmine Infantino. Just recently. And what did he die of? By the way,
anybody know? That was last week, I think.
Yeah, it was last week.
Wednesday, Thursday, maybe.
Doesn't say what he died of. Then Didio was quoted as saying, there are few people in this world that have had as much of an impact on the industry as Carmine. He bridged both the golden and silver age of comics, shepherding in some of the most successful periods in our history and setting the course of our characters that is still seen today. He will be greatly missed, but his legacy will remain forever. And boy, he did stuff for Marvel and DC.
His Flash and his Elongated Man are mm-hmm. my definitive when I think of what those yeah. two characters are like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those Silver Age Flash stories are pretty picture perfect for
yep.
for what they are. Yeah.
He did the I think he did the Flash chapter in the Injustice League 200. I think that was
yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, what?
He was the one.
Yeah.
He was the one that drew the Flash of Two Worlds. Just kind of going through with
Did
Garner.
He?
Yeah, he was. Art was in that. Yeah, that was 1961. It says John Broome and Ernest Infantino just in the silver aspects that had crept into the series. And did the new look Batman and Robin a more detective-oriented direction and sleeker draftsmanship that provided a hit combination.
I thought that was a Parra, but that was him. Huh?
Yeah. Garner Fox, Infantino co-created Barbara Gordon as a new version of Batgirl in Detective Comics number 359, which is 1967.
Oh, I forgot he was involved with her. Yeah.
Arnold Drake and him
they
also...
did And?
Dead Man and Strange Adventures number 205 from October 1967. This story included the first known deception, depiction of narcotics in a story approved by the Comics Code Authority.
In a Dead Man story? No.
Yeah. After the death of Wilson McCoy, the artist of the Phantom comic strip, Infantino finished one of his last stories. He was a candidate for taking over the Phantom Sunday strip after McCoy's death. But the job was given to Cy Berry. It's a citation needed, so I don't know if that's true or not. That's what it says anyway. Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea. Most of that stuff that you just noted off, I had no idea he was mm-hmm. part of.
He also created the Human Target with Len Wein. Which was in Action Comics number 419. The character was adapted in a short-lived ABC television series starring Rick Springfield. I'd forgotten about that. And they tried to do it again. Fox tried to do it later on again.
With Mark, what's that guy?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. He was in the first of Fringe, and they're trying to get the ratings back of that Body of Proof. He's on that now. I never watched it, though.
He's like the Ted McGinley of action series.
Yeah, he was in a series that they did where he was like a New York cop that went to England to chase a bad guy down, and he ended up staying.
That would be one of the best all time series of all time, and it's called Keen Eddie.
That's right. It was a great show, and it was on what, 3 episodes before they killed it?
No, I have all 12 episodes on DVD. So.
Oh, okay. I need to, that would be cool because I don't think I got to watch all of those.
I own a total of 3 series on DVD.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, that one, I really enjoyed that one. So I was sad to see it go.
But we were talking about Carmine Infantino.
Yes, we were. Sorry. It just.
No, no, it's my fault.
It's the 6 degrees of separation. I mean, he was as well. So, yeah, let's see what. He also consulted on plots of. Oh, that's right. He was made. He was DC publisher in early 1971.
He was the publisher just before.
He was editorial director before that.
Yeah, just before Jeanette Kahn, he was.
Yeah, let's see. He was consulting with screenwriter Mario Puzo on the plots of Superman the Movie and Superman 2, collaborated with Marvel on the historic company crossover publication Spider-Man versus Amazing Spider-Man. Warner Communications replaced him with Jeanette Kahn, and a person new to the comics field. Yeah, he returned to drawing freelance after that.
He's the guy who hired in Joe Orlando, Joe Kubert, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Dick Giordano. Man, this guy, he was smart. Wow.
In 2004, he sued DC for rights to characters he alleges to have created while he was a freelancer. It includes several Flash's characters, including Wally West, Iris West, Captain Cold, Captain Boomerang, Mirror Master, and Gorilla Grodd, as well as Elongated Man and Batgirl.
I think any Flash Silver Age character that was... Yeah. I can't think of any other artist that did the Flash Silver Age, like, from when we met Barry Allen through till late 60s, I want to say.
Probably so.
Just... Well, then, like I said, he did, and I was telling you guys a couple weeks ago that I was reading the Trial of the Flash showcase, and that's all, that's him, front to back, and that's mid-80s.
Here's a little interesting tidbit. He was also the uncle of Massachusetts musician Jim Infantino of the band Jim's Big Ego. He contributed to the cover art to the group's 2003 album, They're Everywhere, which features a song about the Flash called The Ballad of Barry Allen. Interesting.
What?
That's what it says.
Okay. Oh, looking up that Tornado miniseries. Dude, I remember that. That was awesome. Alright, well, I miss him already.
Yeah, it says here that he didn't have any survivors either.
Aww.
Survivors, so he didn't have any kids. It's too bad.
That's bad.
It is. 87.
See if he had any lasting runs on any Marvel comics. Like, all his Marvel comic runs were, like, short. Star Wars is his longest-lived Marvel. Mm. Maybe Nova. No, Star Wars.
He even did the Legion.
Did he?
Yeah.
Number 289. Yeah. Well, he was in the Dial H for Hero preview, number 272. Backup story in number 289.
That was the one where Brainy gets cured. Brainy was already cured. That was the one where he cures Mad Reader then.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Or where they get trapped in that...
They get trapped in a force field, and there's like a doctor with eight arms running around.
Yes! I remember reading that one. It seems like I ran into that the other day looking for something else.
Are we sure that wasn't an Action Comics story?
No, it would have fit in just perfectly in an Action Comics story.
God, wouldn't it have? It was horrible. No offense to Mr. Infantino, but oh my God.
Yeah, he was on The Flash from number 105 to 174, and that was in 59 to 67, and then he came back and did 296 through 350, which was 81 to 85.
Wow. Man, detectives he did. Wowzers.
Oh, wow, yeah, he did. All spread all out, didn't he?
Wow, he did a ton.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was good.
No break between 296 and 350 on Flash. Between 105 and 174 on Flash.
I know, that's a big run. That's unheard of these days, isn't it?
If we get a full year out of an artist nowadays...
It's like they get just distracted by shiny things.
Some cases it's appreciated, but
that's sad. Mm-hmm.
someone was. They were talking about that at the convention, and a lot of these guys are dying around us. These comic book heroes that we.
We're talking to Rod about that. How about Infantino and the rest? It is sad. Very few out there of that caliber, I think, anymore.
So. I met Julius Schwartz like weeks before he passed away. I was like, no, that's not.
Oh, cool. Wow, man. That's amazing.
Well, it wasn't a convention. It wasn't like he came over for dinner.
Alright, let's see. What else we got? What else we want to talk about? Who's reading Age of Ultron here?
Ugh. Yes.
Don't like it, huh?
Yeah. It's really... It reads like it was written a couple years ago when this sort of slow, drawn-out storytelling was popular. But it's... Not much is happening. Like, I'm trying to think... Issue 1, Captain America cries, and I think they rescue Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Issue 2, Captain America stops crying.
By the way, spoilers, everyone.
Captain America
spoilers. Yep. I think he stops crying in issue 2. Issue 3, more rubble, lots and lots and lots and lots of rubble. Issue 4, is that the reveal? Is issue 4 the reveal where we get the vision?
Yeah.
Okay, so issue 4, they find out the vision is involved. Issue 5, stuff sort of happened. They do the time travel.
Whoa, I haven't read that one.
Oh.
It's okay. With spoilers, Chris. Spoilers.
Yeah, I know.
Spoilers.
including us. We're spoiling ourselves here.
I just find it. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, I like those.
Really slow.
I always like those kind of stories.
Bendis, Murray. It's my primary complaint about a Bendis story is you can have 22 pages and basically nothing happens.
But I'd be okay if nothing happened if there was more talking, but there's, Bendis is known, for stretching stuff out, but also for lots of talking and jibber-jabber, and there are some issues where that happens, but then there are other issues where it's just scene after scene after scene of either broken down buildings or robots shooting people and not much out. Like, it's a quick read.
I gotta tell you, what was really good? It was the Superior Spider-Man. I think it was 6AU or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they're doing some versions of that, aren't they?
It was really good with the Doc Ock Spider-Man thinking that he could fix it all. It was very good. It was not written by it wasn't done by the normal team that does Superior Spider-Man, the Dan Slott. I can't remember Umberto Ramos. I can't remember who the creative team it was, but
yeah.
it was very good. And Murray, aren't you at least a little bit intrigued as to the statement that this is all happening now from Sada?
Is that
what the deal was?
Yeah, like this is all supposed to be right now. Not a future story. This is what's happening now.
Yeah, he changed the timeline. Yeah. Story.
Yeah, I mean that interests me. That interested me in the first issue, and 5 weeks later, they haven't. if you've got 5 issues, advance, like take each issue and kind of advance the. I don't know. Maybe I guess he has advanced the story, but it seems like there's not. To me, there's not enough there. Each issue to justify $4 and I don't know. I would bet some of the tie-in issues though would be really interesting because there's like you can look at every aspect of the Marvel Universe and see how it's changed and really explore some of those characters and some of those neat settings and I bet like the tie-ins are pretty cool, but the... I don't know. I'm trying to think which characters are getting FaceTime, and you see Spider-Man, sort of. You get... Well, you don't really even get... there's not a character that's jumping out at me as being the main character. There's not even... I don't know. There's not even a group of characters that are... I mean, there's the ones that are hidden away, but none of their personalities are jumping out at me other than Hawkeye, who's, like, shooting everything.
Well, it's, I mean, obviously, the obvious comparison is to Flashpoint. I mean, that's the one point comparison to DC.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And the centerpiece miniseries of Flashpoint, it did not do much for advancing the actual storyline until the last issue, whereas a lot of the ancillary miniseries explored the world that they were in. Whereas obviously this is not a quote unquote parallel universe, but it's the same thing where we're getting, like you said, the tie-ins, the crossovers are actually more intriguing than the actual series itself. And I'm sure the 10th issue, number 10, will be like, you know, the one that everything blows up and we get whatever next iteration of the Marvel Universe we get is from it. But it's the same concept.
Yeah, but with Flashpoint, by this point, it was done. You know, like by Flashpoint issue 5, it was all done. It was wrapped up. And with Ultron, it seems like it's taken us 5 issues to get to the actual, here's what the story's going to be. Like, it's the, sorry, spoilers, Chris, cover your ears. It's okay. The time travel element that...
I'd already heard that, so that's okay.
Kick it off. I don't know. Maybe it'll... I don't know. I think it's taken a long time to get to this point, and hopefully it'll. I don't know. They've said the, like, this is when Brian Hitch is no longer drawing the book. Is that right? Like, I think the next couple of issues are other artists as they explore the different time streams or whatever, and that might be interesting, right? Because you've got spoilers. You got people going back in time. You got people going forward in time. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
we will see where it goes. I think when you compare this to Avengers versus X-Men, I thought that book had more going on and had more flash and sizzle for your buck. But
nope.
That's all I got.
Well, and in terms of these company, you know, these universe spanning crossovers, I mean, Valiant has got theirs going on with the Harbinger thing that they've got going on right now, and they're doing it. And for my money, they're doing it right. They're only involving 2 titles, and there's gonna be bookend pieces to it. They're not gonna be gouging us like Marvel is with 10 issues telling 5 issues of story, or maybe 10 issues telling 3 issues of story. And I guess when they do the Justice League, the Trinity War, it's not going to have any crossover books. It's just going to be the 3 Justice League books, and that's it. Which I think is great as well.
Well,
that's the way it should be, really.
That's what they say, except...
Good, yeah, fine.
And you know what I like that it's going to be in just the 3 Justice League titles for 2 months or whatever. When they say there's no crossovers, however, there are books like you've got Phantom Stranger and there's another book.
I don't know. Like,
oh, there is. She is getting her own book, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those both kind of, so there's like prologues and they lead into it and. You know, maybe you don't need to read them to enjoy the story. Like, maybe there's nothing either way. Like, I think I prefer when the story kind of runs through the Aquaman story that just finished up, the Aquaman story that was in Justice League. Mm-hmm. The, whatever that was, the crash of Atlantis, the flooding of whatever, the...
flooding of Boston,
you know,
Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that was kind of, I liked the way they did it. I liked that they bounced between Aquaman and Justice League. I liked that they kept it short. And I liked that each issue was jam-packed full of stuff. Yeah. Now, I guess if you weren't reading Aquaman, you kind of had to buy it to get the story. But I was reading both those books, so it worked out just fine for me.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting point. I wonder if I was just reading Justice League, whether I'd be cool. Because obviously the start and the finish were in Justice League, so you couldn't just read Aquaman because you wouldn't get the finish to the story.
Right, right.
Huh. Well, okay. So you're forced to read both in that one. Okay. But you're probably right. I'm sure most people who are reading Aquaman read Justice League. Maybe not the other way around, but definitely. What is that? What are those when you have the two bubbles that cross over? The Venn chart?
Venn diagram?
Yeah, Venn diagram. Mm.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So Age of Ultron is not your cup of tea. All right. Don't buy it. It's $4. $4 twice a month. It's $8 that you're...
Yeah. No, it's every week.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's weekly. I was going to say, I don't think there's a week gone by that they haven't had one of those things.
Yeah, I think it is, Matt.
No wonder my wallet feels so light.
Mm-hmm.
Sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's happening in continuity are the X-Books. I'm very surprised that, you know, not surprised, but I'm glad that by the fact that Uncanny X-Men, All New X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men all have a very strong continuity between them.
Really?
As the Uncanny X-Men are gathering new young mutants with them, they're mentioning them in All New X-Men and the time-traveling X-Men in All New X-Men have been very prominent and in continuity in Uncanny X-Men. So it helps to have one writer, like with the Aquaman Justice League crossover, one writer keeps a feeling of continuity. I keep using that word. I didn't used to care about it. I guess if you're going to spend this much money, I guess I have to care about it.
Yeah. Right.
I might have asked this before, but why have they decided? What's the reason for the X-Men staying in their future, our present? Why? Is it that they can't get back, or they've decided they don't want to go back?
They've decided they don't want to go back. That their mission initially, and I think it's still their mission statement, is to try and convince current old man Summers to not be a douche. I think it even said that when it now. And at the same time, to make sure that they learn something from it so that if they ever do end up going back to the past, whatever, however you want to word it, that they don't repeat the same mistakes that lead up to how they're currently behaving. It's still kind of weak, and to his credit, Bendis has called out the weak motivation a couple of times in story.
Well, I would hope someone's arguing with them, because really, if they... I don't know. I like the idea of them coming forward. I like it. But from a time point of view, it's like... If you do go back and you've learned a lesson, and you realize that, I don't know, maybe Jean shouldn't go visit Broccoli Planet, then like... That's gonna totally screw up the timeline. Everything's gonna get wrecked.
Yeah.
I suspect that it's gonna turn out that Hank McCoy didn't actually go back to their own past, but in fact went back to like a parallel Earth.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what they usually do.
Well, that's fine. Well, then that parallel timeline can get all screwed up and it won't matter at all. That's fine. That doesn't bother me at all.
as long as it's not real.
As long as it's not my timeline getting screwed up. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because the other part of me thinks, okay, so they've been in the... They're in our present now, and they've been here for an adventure, presumably have a couple of adventures, and presumably they're going to learn stuff and grow and change as people and get older, and then they're going to go back to the past, and they're going to have all this knowledge that they didn't have, and then they're going to have all their adventures throughout the 60s with all this knowledge that they shouldn't have had that they now have. And yeah, my head hurts just thinking about that kind of stuff. Cause
and the longer they stay here, the older they get. So you can't even return them back to like 1 second after you pull them out, because they're still going to be older.
I know. So if you do, they're suddenly like, they're missing out on all their teenage years, because they're having their teenage years when they're old geezers at 30 and 40. Ouch. And then they go back to be teenagers, except they can't be teenagers because they've advanced, like they've spent 5 years in the future. They're out on the best years. Not that you're best when you're a teenager, but I mean, maybe they are. I don't know.
It is confusing. I can't imagine.
Yes.
Actually,
I've heard good things. That's you know what? When I decided to start by following the Avengers, because I wasn't going to buy like both $4 books every other week, blah 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 blah. I decided to go with the Avengers. I think that was the wrong choice. I should have gone with the X-Men, because I think those stories are more to my liking.
I'm still trying to figure out whether I want to keep the. I'm not the uncanny one. It's like I'm at the train wreck phase of me sticking with it. You know, it's pretty much. Pretty much it. So
it's like 8mm. You're just like, God, I can't turn away. It's,
yeah,
it's
that. So, oh man, that movie was something.
It's so fascinating the way that the trains just keep crashing into each other and blowing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard.
Uncanny Adventures blows.
Yeah, it's not that great. I'll have to agree with you.
Oh, that one I didn't even follow. Yeah, but like the regular Avengers, Avengers. That one I was going to follow, but then I decided this week, no, I'm not picking it up. Or last week, maybe whenever it was out, I decided, no, I walked away. I did not spend my $4 on that book.
Ooh.
And I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I know.
Hello. Okay, I'm here. Scoop ice cream instead.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I hit on the way home.
Three or four Monkey Brain comics with that money.
Hey.
Totally.
There you go. See?
Mr. Yes, Roberts, if you're listening, we're still pushing your books.
Yes, we are. I bought a couple of those the other day, and I forget which one I read. What was that new one they talked about that was on proof for pre-order? What was the name of it? It just came out last week.
I am behind on my monkey braining.
It's called Theremin.
Oh, that's what you were trying to download when we were sitting in the convention hall on.
I was trying to download. Yeah, I actually got it downloaded finally. I just turned my hotspot on and I read it. I think I read it on one of the planes or while I was waiting to do something somewhere. And that was good. I'll be getting that. That's a good book.
Theremin. Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm behind. I didn't buy anything this week or last week from Monkey Brain.
I didn't buy any at all until this morning. I was 2 weeks behind. I'm like, I think I'm only a week behind in reading, but I was 2 weeks in. No, that doesn't make sense, does it? I was really behind.
I'm behind. I'm a week. I'm about a week and a half behind right now on all books. So.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read any of this week's books yet.
Yeah, I think I've seen any. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
The last Monkey Brain book I tried was Artful Daggers.
That was interesting.
I'm going to have to reread it. My first reading, I didn't love it, but I'll give it a try again. Because I know, I see Artful Daggers number 2 is out, but I'm not going to buy it until I know whether I like.
Yeah, I read both of those. It was interesting. Different take.
Okay, so Theremin gets the thumbs up. I will give that one a try. And then there's like Knuckleheads and Skybreaker that are both out, and I didn't. And Frost. I don't think Frost is my cup of tea.
I haven't I've read all of those but Frost, and they were all pretty good.
All right. So Skybreaker is like a Western, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And Knuckleheads is a bunch of doofuses.
What is this, Fabula? This looks interesting.
It was good. That one I liked. You should download that one right now.
As we speak, just like Chris did while we were actually interviewing Roberson and Baker. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I just added it to my cart. I will toss in Theremin and then perhaps that'll be the end of my purchases for the week.
Gotcha.
Yes, I've spent quite a bit of money on comics today.
I just now spent an additional $2, or will spend an additional $2.
Yeah, I even went back and picked up the issue of Green Arrow I missed, because I actually like what they were doing with it for the first time since they put that out.
Oh, that little girl is evil. The daughter of the main bad guy. I can't remember her name, but she's.
Oh, I missed this. She must have missed something there. I'll have to read that again.
She's a serious spanking. She's not nice.
Thank you.
I mean that in the disciplinary. Wait a minute. Okay.
Of course you do.
Oh, speaking.
As Chris artfully changes the subject.
No, I was just remembering that we kind of laid off of Dark Horse since they've got their own gig. We need to go over some of the stuff. If any of you've read, and I know I've read some stuff. One of the things was I picked up on a sale was the first volume of Mike Norton's Battle Pug. I read that on a plane. That was pretty funny.
Oh,
I enjoyed
it's
that.
Good.
I enjoy it's that.
Good. Yep.
I'll have to get more of that. And speaking of Mike Norton, I read the first volume, at least I think all of them. I might have read more than that. Yeah, it's up to like 6 or 7. The revival thing that they did, he did with Tim Seeley. I'm sad to see that going to be being canceled because he's working on something exclusive. He's ending Hack and Slash and that to focus on the higher paying jobs, I would assume, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to pay the bills. So, but anyway, that was a really good series. A zombie story with a twist.
Yes.
Very, very good book. I got it just because Mike Norton was working on it. And he's got something over at Dark Horse, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he's got The Answer.
The Answer, that's right, yeah. And
Has anyone used the Dark Horse? Is there an app? Like, you can't get their books through Comixology, right?
Yeah, they have their own app, and you can buy stuff on there. You can buy and read their stuff on their website, which I can send you guys a link. But they do have a thing. It's a little different. It takes a little getting used to. The page turns are just enough different from Comixology that they are. It's a little irritating. And they do free stuff all the time. And it's pretty good stuff. One of the ones I got that I haven't looked at yet is Francisco Francavilla's The Black Beetle. He's got a series.
Right.
I had the number 0 was for free, I think. I have to look. They've got some of the stuff they got coming up. The superhero from the 90s, X, is being relaunched by Dwayne Szczerinski, the one that was currently doing Harbinger right now? No, he's doing what?
Did Birds of Prey.
Yeah, he did Birds of Prey. I think he's way off of that now.
Yeah.
What was he doing for Valiant?
Was he doing something for Valiant?
Yeah, he's...
He's doing Bloodshot? No.
He might be. Hold on.
To the solicits.
I'll look at my comics on Comixology and find out real quick, too.
So with Dark Horse, if
there
you're
we go.
Buying...
He is doing Bloodshot. It is Bloodshot.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Murray.
If you're buying stuff through Dark Horse digitally,
yes.
Can you still use what do I use my iTunes account? Like, do you still pay through that, or do you pay?
It's just like Comixology does. If you buy it on their, what you can buy it on their website, you can buy it from the device. And in my case, since I'm using Android, it's Google Play. It goes through Google Play, and I assume it would go through iTunes as well. So you should be able to do that. It's just a different app. You install the app and look at see what they've got. And they have I'm on their mailing list, and they have sales all the time. Like, they'll have Star Wars sales or whatever. And it's like they got a thing, and I just clicked on a link for 99 Cent Comics, and they got all kinds of different stuff. You know, trying to get, you know, you into reading the new stuff, that Dr. Solar thing. And I think, man, I don't know if it's still going on or not, but they have the Buffy and the Angel license, if you were ever a fan of that. And they did a season 9 book, and they put another one called Angel and Faith, and it's all, you know, Whedon approved stuff. They still have the rights to that, and they still have the rights to the Star Wars franchise until next year, from what I heard. But they've got all the Grendel stuff by Matt Wagner. It's like they got a little Lulu. Got a bunch of little Lulu stuff in here for 99 cents. They got a couple of game licenses. They also have the rights to Tarzan and Solomon Kane, it looks like. No, I mean Conan, excuse me. Yeah, they're doing Conan stuff. Yeah, so they got all the stuff. Turok, Son of Stone, they brought that back.
Which I would have thought would have come through Valiant, but that's just...
They don't have rights to all of it. Dr. Solar, they have the rights to it. And they go ahead.
What the hell's his name? Shooter did that for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still is.
Yeah, now they got, I'm looking through, they got a lot of good bundle stuff. If you ever heard of that Axe Cop book, the one that's done, written by the 25-year-old, it's drawn by a 25-year-old, but all the stuff is made up by his 6 or 7-year-old brother.
It'd be a cartoon.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't read any of it, but I looked at preview one. But, yeah, so a lot of Buffy stuff, looks like. But, yeah, they got bundles. If you wait, you know, like a lot of that Star Wars stuff I bought through bundles. You get 5 or 6 issues, and you get things real, you know, real cheap, or relatively cheap. So, some good stuff there. It's just hard to remember, since it's, you know. But I get an email from them at least once a week when they get new stuff out. So,
well, you know what I've been reading on Comixology.
What have you been reading?
And I know it's controversial, and I know, you know, I am late to the game here, Preacher.
Ah, who talked you into that? I remember we were talking about that on the show.
I don't remember, but a lot of people talked it up, and I kept putting it off. And I loved Boys, which was one of my favorite series.
Yeah,
obviously, that's over. So I was like, I need my Ennis, fix.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I probably don't read that, is because of that. So
because Ennis.
Yeah, well, no, that, like the Boys, I'm not a Boys fan, so.
Oh, yeah, no, this has a lot of the same. I mean, it's nowhere near as graphic or as sexual as the Boys, mm-hmm. but it's you can see that he is really wanting to go there in this book. I mean, it's lots of swearing, lots of violence, you know, the occasional booby. But you know, it was what's it called? Vertigo. So they can get away with a lot more.
Yeah, that's true. They can.
Apparently, if all the words they could and could not say in Vertigo, by the way, and there was a reason I know this. I read up on it a little bit. They couldn't say the C word. Which would, I was like, all these other words they're throwing out there, couldn't say that. So he kept using words.
Yeah, you don't even hear that in movies, barely. I don't think I ever heard that. Except for some.
It's good. I got to figure out who it was who talked me into this, or who reminded me that I should be reading this.
Yeah.
And reach out and thank them profusely, because it's been worth the effort. I read a lot of it while I was in Vegas and on the plane. I'm gonna try. I'm only 16 issues in. I'm gonna try and see if I can power through all 75 issues in the next couple weeks. And they're only $2 off, $2 each off of Comixology.
That's not bad for back issues.
Especially a series like this, and I guess you can buy them and trade as well on the Comixology, which I may switch to, because I haven't bought them all. I'm just, you know, I'm buying them as I read them.
Right.
Now, I highly recommend this series, which you may or may not have heard of. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it.
Oh, God. I'm so late to the game. That's scary. Wow.
I've heard it be, it's very it's a controversial title all around. And the stuff I've heard is like, I don't have anything to do with that. That's just not my kind of thing. It's a little much.
That's a lot much.
So, anyway.
If you don't like the boys, you're not going to like the future. I would love to see it. It gets talked about so often in making this like an HBO series. And given the popularity of The Walking Dead, this series would do easily as well if they were to stick with, like they do with Walking Dead, if they were to source the source material but not, be religious to it, they could really do a great adaptation on HBO or an FX or something like that.
Interesting.
I don't think AMC could get away with it. Though I guess, maybe they could. AMC gets away with a lot, though. They don't swear very much on that show.
No.
Hey, speaking of Dark Horse, I know Dark Horse has Star Wars. Are you reading that new Star Wars series, Chris?
I have the first one, and I read it, and it was really good. I haven't gotten any more since then. I think they're in like third issue now. Wait a little bit. I could probably get a. I'd probably get it, but yeah, I actually liked it. So it was good stuff. Let's see. I'm sure there's more than that out right now.
I like the timeline it's setting right between New Hope and and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, it's a good. I mean, that era isn't done very often. I think they do have some of that, but out there. Yeah, I've got the second issue, but I haven't read it yet.
And I like how they're making what's his name? The other pilot, and Tyrese, what's his name? Wedge.
Yeah.
As a major player.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I also bought a couple issues of that new Ghost series to see what it was like. And they've got a lot, they've had the Star Wars franchise for a long time, and they put out a lot of good books with Joe Ostrander usually writing them. One of them is that they was out just recently called Dawn of the Jedi. It's like, how the Force was discovered and how the formation of the Jedi, and then I think later on the Sith, that's on there. Which I started it at the comic shop, and then, of course, moved and everything else, so I've got the rest of them. I just haven't read them yet. Oh, yeah, they even have a new series. The Dawn of the Jedi, The Prisoner of Bogan, which is something you read about in the thing, but one was good for, I was reading there for a while, I've been getting chunks of it, Star Wars Legacy that he wrote, which takes place about 150 years after the third, it'd be the sixth movie, technically, and it's like The Last Skywalker, and one of the main characters is actually Skywalker, and he's like in the middle because he started out as a Jedi. His father got killed, so he kind of went to the dark side as a bounty hunter. So he can do, he ends up being able to access the dark and the light. And what the cool thing is the Because, you know, Luke always had those ghosts seeing him. Well, in his case, it's Luke is the ghost that he keeps talking to him, trying to get him to go the right way. Yeah, it's very well written. The Zero issue, I think you could probably get that for free. And it outlines the entire series, all the background you want. And then you check it out, and then if you don't like it, then you know you're on that one. But yeah, that's a good one. Legacy is the name of it, and they actually ended it a while back, and I think there was a mini series after that. So yeah, it's good stuff. It really is good stuff. I need to read those more.
Catch up.
And they try to be reasonable too. So you okay there, man?
I'm okay.
Caleb, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, and they got... Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. They got reprints of the old Star Wars series that Marvel did, too.
Yeah, they got they have the rights to those. Which,
oh, yeah. The newspaper strips, too. 81 to 84 newspaper strips. They've got those in comic form, so...
Jeez.
Yeah, they got a lot of Star Wars stuff.
There's more Star Wars comic book storytelling than there is movie or other medium, it almost feels like.
There's a lot of books out there, but you might be right, yeah.
Well, wasn't the first, like, real book for Star Wars, didn't it come out when Timothy Zahn did that one, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, I have all those. Heir of the Empire, I think, was the name of it, the first one. And that was really good. There's a series of Admiral Thrawn books. I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah, it just seems like the comic book universe is just is
well.
Much
the
more,
cool thing is cool. Though, the cool thing is all of those series fit into a tightly wound continuity. And you can there's on the actual Dark Horse site you can look and find the timeline, all the novels. The games, even the current one that's out, all fit into all of it. The books, the games, the comics all fit into a tightly wound continuity. And they even have a guy that works at Lucasfilm, which I don't know if they'll keep him around or not, that his whole job is to keep track of all that and where all that stuff fits. So, yeah, it all fits in there, and you'll watch you know, that the game BioWare did, Star Wars, the New Republic, you know, and the sequel ties into that. It is like 300, the game that's out now that BioWare's got out, Star Wars, The Old Republic, it's 300 years after that, so you see references to those two old BioWare games from the 90s in there, and I've got the book The Jedi Code, and there's stuff, you know, from that, stuff from early stuff that was in comics, some of the novels references in that, too. Like, they did a series called Star Wars, The Tales of the Jedi, and it talks about the formation of the Sith. They got omnibuses of those. I actually have one of them, and a lot of the stuff that was in that is all referenced in those games and later on too. So yeah, it's all tightly wound. So if you're a Star Wars fan, it all fits. So
it all fits together.
It's very interesting stuff.
Makes my head hurt.
See, because that's what I'm hoping. Because you heard that Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, and I think even Mark Hamill, are all going to be in the next movie. I hope they do it where it's like maybe 15, 20 years later, which would fit the age of those characters. And it's in the books. Luke got married and had a couple of kids. The twin thing. And Leia and Han Solo had married and gotten twins. And, you know, they'd progressed where Luke had started the academy, Jedi Academy, back over. And, his kids and their kids were students. And it's all this other stuff, and yeah, it's really good stuff.
Ah!
Yeah, it's a lot.
We got a couple of years before they show up, don't we? Don't we?
I would imagine so, yeah. So
we have a lot of time before they show up, I would think.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how fast they want to
make their money back.
Yeah. Which, that, hell, they probably don't even have to do anything to do that with all the merchandising and crap. They just sit there and let the check come in, you know? Anyway.
Very true.
So that's about it. Yeah, that's all I got.
I realized we didn't even talk about what we thought we were going to talk about, which was to go over the solicits. That's okay.
It's comic talk, so.
Oh, not this week. I'm starting to wind down already.
Yeah, me too. I'm a little tired.
Here.
Yes. Something.
It looks like, hey, Murray, you'll be happy to hear Age of Ultron is in fact going to spin out into its own series, The Avengers AI. So.
Yeah, nope. That's right. I read about that.
Wow.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, The Vision, Hank Pym, Victor Mancha, Doombot, the mysterious Alexis, and Monica Chang, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Age of Ultron is over. The Age of AI is now!
All right, then.
So. I knew you'd be happy. I knew you'd be happy with that. So.
There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Oh, and look, they canceled Avenging Spider-Man. Oh, okay.
Did they?
It's now Superior Spider-Man team up. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Going off on tangents here. Apologies.
Alrighty.
I got nothing else this week, man. I really.
I do too. That was a brain dump, and I am like dog ass tired right now.
Hey, Murray, thank you for bringing us up to date though on Super Show. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that was great.
Maybe next year, if I don't have conflict, I can hop on a plane and get out there.
Yeah, that sucked. Really. I wanted to go too, but that was the last time they had it. It was the same thing. It was the weekend before MMS, and I just couldn't swing it. So, anyway, all right. Let's wrap this up. As usual, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Requests, comments, complaints even, if that's your thing. And you can check us out on Facebook. Just do a little searchy and join our little community. No telling what we'll be posting in there. So come and join us. And, of course, you can make comments on the actual episodes at talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. And that is it for this week. And we're out.